If you guys have a Bible, we are going to be in Psalm chapter 119, verses 13 through 120. We're cruising right along in these Psalms. Fleshmans, we have been in the Psalms forever and ever. Amen. We have been here for like 3 years. We've got another year to go. I think we're actually going to finish them up. If all goes according to plan, which it's not my plans, we'll just submit that to the Lord. We'll be done September next year. I got a good idea of what we're going to do next, but we're going to go Proverbs verse by verse. Just kidding. Maybe after something else. Yeah, Angie wants to. I don't know if I can handle that after Psalms. So maybe Jude, right? Maybe Jude, maybe Titus, although we did a 17-week Bible study through Titus, so it took Titus and made it a lot longer. So we'll see what God has for us. But as we've been in the Psalms, the way that we've kind of looked at them is just that this is God teaching us how to pray. And it's actually been a slow, I don't know if it's not methodical, but it's been just a slow kind of saturation in the Psalms for God to teach us how to pray. And I'm hoping that we can get out of it all that we can get out of it. What I'd like to do today is pray this. And that's, I think it's psalmic. I think that's how you say that, the letter, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But let me pray this over us and then we'll get into it. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all those who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. In Jesus' name, amen. This prayer is a prayer of spiritual warfare. This is how we actually get to fight as Christians. We have enemies, right? We have enemies, and our enemies are not flesh and blood, but they're rulers and powers of this world, in which Jesus, as we learned last week, Jesus is the light. He's the antidote, if you will, to the darkness that surrounds us. And I think of it like our enemies like this. The world in all its trappings, so our culture, right? Everything in it. And it doesn't matter what culture you're in. All of them have different trappings that we can fall into just because we live where we live. We can think of the flesh, so all the trappings of your personal struggles. And each one of us is different in here to certain extents, but all of those things that we kind of like give into more than others, right? Like those things where we just kind of fall into sin there. And then we also have the devil, right? The devil, Satan and his demons and his spiritual beings that are against Jesus' work and will for our lives, that want to destroy us. And so we at least have these enemies, the worlds, ourselves, and the devil that are fighting against us. And we need to learn this fight. That is, if it's important, if we think it's important to our well-being spiritually and we're committed to following Jesus, prayer is one of the key ingredients to our fight. It's not always the quickest action, though. Amen? Like when you pray and you wait upon the Lord, it's not always the quickest action. And in prayer, we also don't always get our way. Like we can pray certain things, like this prayer certainly has prayed certain things, but we don't always get our way in the way that we think it should go is not always the case. But in prayer and waiting on God to answer our prayers, our fighting will become more like Jesus fighting. And we will become more patient, Lord willing, right? In this section of Psalm 119, we can see that the prayer, the person who prayed this originally, hates the double-minded. I don't blame them, right? Wants the evildoers to depart, so at least get away from there. And then I had to look up the word spurn, which means to kick away or trample on. How's that? Like, do that to people, Lord. I'm good with it. To reject with disdain those who don't keep God's statutes. How many of us have felt that? At least in your heart, even if you haven't prayed it, right? So And last but not least, the prayer wants the wicked to be swept away like dross, right? Dross is imperfections in metal. It's when metal's heated up and it burns out the imperfections and the top layer is scraped away. That's not suitable for use. That's what this prayer wants done with the evil people. So you can see this person in prayer is praying a spiritual battle cry. God, go in and crush him. Do your thing, God. Destroy all this. This prayer certainly has enemies just as we have. And maybe we don't have them like this person or to the same level or for the same reasons. To be honest, we might not even realize that we have them at certain times, but we do, and we are in a spiritual battle. If nothing else, our enemies don't want us to follow Jesus. They don't want us to follow Jesus. There are forces that are trying to pull us away from Christ, the Jesus life and the Jesus way, right? Just so that they can get us off track. And all that is prayed in this prayer is how we should feel about the sin that separates us from God. Amen. May it go away. May you destroy it. May you get it out of our lives. We shouldn't want any of this sin in our life, in our culture, in our world, right? The sin that we fight is not just the world's sin, but it's our own personal sin. It's all this that we get to fight, and we want it to go away. How many of you think that your life would be better without your own personal sin? Yeah, amen. I do too. How about the sins of the world? Anybody think it would be better? Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Think of it like this. We all want school shootings to stop. Amen? Say amen if you agree with me. We all want school shootings to stop. We all want the folks at the border to be treated with worth and dignity. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We all want the kids in our schools, in our district, to be fed and not struggle with hunger. Amen?
Amen.
We also want our own selfishness to go away. Amen? Like, that's maybe with a question mark. We want our double-mindedness to end. Amen? We want it to go away so we can be fully devoted to Jesus. We want to get our sin behind us, don't we? And just kind of move on with life. And I had on my notes that I wrote up on the wall after I read this verse, it was like, get behind me, Satan. We want Satan behind us, amen? Like, we want Romans 16:19 that says that, you know, Jesus is going to come and stomp on the head of Satan. Like, we want that, and we want to live for Jesus, amen? Like, this is what we do. We're Christians. The way of evil and wickedness and sin is extremely cunning, always trying to deceive us, always trying to trick us to do the devil's will. That's actually real. And we need to be wise to the ways of evil and then avoid doing them. Amen? Like, this is what we get to do. The best way, I was thinking about this, the best way to not sin anymore is to stop sinning. Noelle tells this story. She was out having a puff on her cigarette, and Josiah goes, Miss Noelle, you know how to stop? And she goes, how? And he goes, you just stop. He said this to her. And you know, there's some truth to that, right? One time you pick up a cigarette and smoke it, and then you put it down, and then you never go back to it. You stop. Now, this isn't as easy as we would like it, is it? Like, with any of our sin, it's not as easy as we'd like it. So what we get to do is we get to do the work. We get to keep up the fight. We get to stay in prayer about these things. We find out that God wants us to live a certain way, and then we do that with joy. With joy, because he knows best. Amen? He knows best. And if we keep his laws, then we will walk in his ways. How many of you guys have thought of the law in the Bible as a negative? I have, for sure. Okay, lots of shaking heads. I no longer do so. And actually, it's probably been like going through Psalm 119 very slowly, like taking it 8 verses a time, has been very healing and freeing for me in this. Like, it's actually like, I'm like the fundamental and the liberal side that were fighting each other. Like, I'm just like, I find respite in it, and I find Christ just ministering in such a powerful way through these psalms. So I'm glad that none of you spoke up and said, can we please do this in 11 weeks? Because I like the 22 weeks through Psalm 119. But that's my selfishness, that I want to die as well. So, but God's laws and his ways We want to walk in them. Amen. Like, we want to walk in them. Charles Spurgeon said this: when we love the law, it becomes a law of love. It becomes a law of love. We cling to it with our whole heart. And this is what we're trying to do in prayer. We're trying to cling to God's love, his love, over against our ways, over against the ways of the world, over against our sin. And as we pray this way, by the way, I think that, like, this prayer in its full force, I think it's okay to pray this. I think it's okay to, sometimes we're just getting it off our chest. We're having these verbal vomits to God where we just need to get it off our chest, and we need to feel the freedom to pray these angry prayers. And we also need to feel the freedom not to stay there. We need to feel the freedom to let God deal with it as he will, because if we stay in that place, then it will lead to bitterness and a paranoid life, right? It will just not lead to good places. Instead, we get to live in light of what Jesus has done and is doing in our life and doing for us. This is a better place to live than just staying at the, I hate the double-minded, those dirty, rotten, no good scoundrels, right? So we get the angst off of our heart and cry out to God about these dirty, rotten, no good, blah, blah, blahs in your life. That's what I wrote down. That's the type of good stuff that I can write when I have the time. So when you're done crying this out, and you feel, how many of you guys have cried out like this, where it's almost like swear words about people, and then you feel a little bit better? At least momentary. Yeah, amen. Like, let's just be honest with it, right? Like, you feel a little bit better, but then we get to remember that the fight is not ours. This fight is not ours. As we feel like we may be fighting people, we're not. We're not. We get to give Jesus the fight and let him fight it for us. And by the way, this takes more time than we'd like. It may look like we're losing most of the time, right? It may look like our reputations are dead because people are going to believe lies. But even in these hard times, we trust Jesus beyond those hard times and the difficult people in our lives. Amen? If I had points in a sermon, this would be a separate one. It would be more important than our crying out, more important than our prayer, our battle cries of casting people down, is that we rely on Jesus. I think this is the big hinge here. This is where it all, that we trust that he will take care of us through any and every situation. We don't know how he's going to do it, and we can't control what he'll do with our enemies, but we can place our trust in him. Amen. We can strive for that. We can strive to place our trust in him. If we look at this prayer from a trusting in Jesus' perspective, we can see it in a better light. We hate the double-minded. Why? Because they're so unlike Jesus. They're so unlike the goodness and faithfulness that we've had in him. Jesus isn't changing his mind all the time or his ways. He's not. He's the same. He's not wavering in the streams of culture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And as I say this, I'm not saying that doesn't mean that we have to go back to the good old days when everyone trusted Jesus, because an honest view of history shows that ever since Jesus' day, people were making Jesus look like them instead of just allowing Christ to be Christ. And not allowing him to just be Jesus, who is the God and Savior of this world, the lover of the world and the lover of our souls. We've tried making different gods. And that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't deal differently with people now. It means human views have been changing, and it may look like he deals with them differently. The church has certainly changed a lot. Right? And it's done some really great things, and it's done some really negative things. But Jesus is the same forever. And we get to trust him and follow him. And we get to trust that he is just, that his love will remain forever and ever, and his kindness and his forgiveness. And then we look at this, we hate the double-minded. And this reminds us that Jesus is not double-minded. He's not. We are the fickle ones. He is the steadfast one. He is always the same. And I pray that this gives us hope and love. It just roots it down in our hearts. That we can see, right? If you guys are on Facebook, you know how fickle this world is, right? If you know your own heart, you know how fickle you are. And at the same time, Jesus is not like that, and we can be super grateful for that. We can see that in this prayer, as we learn to trust Jesus, we can make these declarations like, Jesus is our shield. Jesus is our hiding place. He is our support. He is our all in all, and we get to strive to make this become more and more true in our life. Amen? Like, we're given a world. We're trying to do this. And we hide behind Jesus, not just in times of trouble, but in good times as well. If we are at war, then we are the person that's cowering behind the shield, and Jesus is the one doing the real work. We are not always on the offensive and kicking butt and taking name. That's not how we always are as Christians. There's going to be times when Jesus sends us out to do something in his name, but we're not just out there. I think oftentimes the way our culture says it's more like as Christians, we're supposed to be more like Captain America, right? Just out there, ahead of the charge, leading everything, doing all this. But honestly, if we're going to let Jesus fight for us, it's a much more timid position. Or you could say it this way, it's a much more humble one. Allowing Christ to do his work, and then when he says go, we're ready to go and get into the action. We get behind him. How many of you guys have had somebody say, well, is Jesus your crutch? No, he's not my crutch, but he's my shield. He is the one that I hide behind. He is my comfort. I can trust him over against myself, over against any of this culture and even our friends, because he is fighting for us. This is what I think when I think of Jesus fighting. Who knows? Maybe Jesus will bring repentance to these evildoers. All of them. All the double-minded, all the ones that, like this prayer says, to spurn. Maybe his grace will crush the weight of their evil, and his love will overwhelm their hearts to the point where they're no longer working evil, but they work for Jesus. Maybe this will happen. It happened with me. Happened with Mo. Happened with everybody's story that I know in here, right? That this is what Jesus is doing us. The old has died away and the new has come. Like, we are dead in our sin and alive in Christ, and we're becoming new. And I think that this is what's happened with tons of people from history, right? You just read testimonies, stories of different people that have changed. And it's basically this: I once was lost, but now I'm found. Praise Jesus. Amen? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was once in the darkness, but now I have the light, and I'm just going to do my best to follow Jesus and go with it. We get to let Jesus work as we hide behind him. And I know that this seems super cowardly to the American sensibilities, but we don't fight the same way as our culture. We can't. Jesus didn't fight the same way as his culture. I actually think it's more heroic to wait and be patient than to just charge out and take the charge. It's harder, that's for sure. I would say that waiting and trusting Jesus is a lot harder than going out and doing it yourself. Being out in front of Jesus going, no, it's okay, Jesus, I got this. I can do whatever I want here. And then, by the way, what a lot of people in the church have traditionally done it, and they've said, in Jesus' name. And Jesus is like, not in my name. You're just out there doing it. I would say waiting and trusting in Jesus is harder than going out and doing it yourself. But we are called to be patient and to trust in Jesus. And this, in my mind, this is harder and it's more heroic. We wait. We wait. Because Jesus is our support. The word in verse 116 and 117, uphold and hold me up, are the same word actually. And it's the word is support. And it says, support me so I can live, and in living I will be safe. Right? All throughout the Psalms, we've seen this desire for life, and we get life in Christ. We die to ourselves and live in Christ. That's what we get to do. We want this life and this safety. These are good things, and they're found in Christ. He will support us. He will hold us up. And this is for us as a church, not just this church, but the greater church in the world. And as it's true for individuals, he has us. He sees us. He cares for us. He wants good for us and is supporting us as we strive to live for him. He wants us to succeed in walking his ways. Amen? This is incredibly comforting. He isn't going to walk it for us, but he's going to support us along the road as we travel with him. And he does this in amazing fashion. He walks beside us as a friend. He encourages. Come on. Come on. But God, I don't think I can make one more step. Yeah, you can do one more. Let's go. We got this. He reminds us of goodness and grace. But God, I can't go on because look what I've done in my past. I don't see it. Let's keep walking. He reminds us that we are called by different names than the world would call us. We are his beloved. Think, let that sink in. We are his beloved. God, who made the heavens and the earth, loves us. We are loved by him. We are clean and not dirty because of Christ. We are free in Jesus to live according to his ways. We don't have to follow our ways or the ways of the world or the ways of Satan because we are spotless. In this, we are reminded that he's taken every spot, every stain that sin would leave on us. He's taken it. And on the cross, he exchanged it for what? His purity. What a blessing is that? And in this, we've tasted and seen the goodness of Jesus as he walks with us. Over and over, we've seen in Scripture, he is our food. He is our water. He is our light. And in that, he's our everything. We can't survive without him, fighting this battle. And by the way, we've sold all that we have and all that we are to follow him because we see his ways are better than our own. Once again, Spurgeon said, it's easy to exercise hope where we have experienced hope. And I've experienced hope in Christ over and over, and I hope that you have too. We found our hope in Jesus and not in ourselves. Jesus went to the cross and died not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. He loves us that much that he didn't just defeat the sin in us. He defeats sin, period. All of it. Jesus was then buried in a rich man's tomb and on the third day rose from the dead to prove to us that he can defeat any battle that we will face. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection gives us hope and strength during hard times and during good times. But not only that, the life that Jesus lived was one that was lived out the law perfectly because we don't. His life is one that modeled how we are to fight. And you can see that over and over again as he went out and he prayed. And this is our weapon too. As he looked like he was going to lose, but he didn't. He won. He's victorious. And I pray that we might be able to trust Jesus to fight for us. That as we fight sin in our world and in ourselves, that we fight like Jesus fought. Which is not easy. But we pray and we trust that he's got this taken care of. Because he does. One of the things I really love about spiritual battles, this is true, is that we already know who won the war. We already know. Jesus won. Even though the war is still going on, we know that Jesus wins the war. Jesus did it. His death, burial, and resurrection ensure this victory. And we get to confess our sins, and be patient, and wait for him. I love where this psalm ended up. Because I'm not going to deal with the last verse at all. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. And I actually, like, this is actually a huge blessing to me. As Mo and I are going on vacation, and so we're going to be gone, and Phil's going to be preaching. And I don't want to not preach on this because I want to shy away from it. That's only part of it. So the other reason is that next week, Phil is actually going to be preaching on the fear of God. Like, it's almost like this verse 120, Phil's just going to take that and tease it out. more and more and better than I can do in the remaining time that I have. And this psalm actually, the ending of this psalm this week dovetails perfectly with what God had in store for us, has in store for us as a church next week, right? Dovetails perfectly, and Phil is going to look into the depths of what fears look like. So I would say that if you're scared of God, if this last verse is like one where you're like, what the heck? Like, sometimes I'm there, right? Come. Phil's got all the answers. No, Phil doesn't have all the answers. No, but come and just see what the Holy Spirit may have for you in that, because it's going to be addressed, like, directly. And so it's a beautiful thing. But for now, we get to know and rest assured that the battle is won, that Jesus won it. We fight in prayer and in patience. And sometimes when we follow Jesus, there are times when he went away to pray, which is what Mo and I are doing after service. So if you guys will, let's end in prayer. Jesus, I thank you so much that you teach us to fight. You teach us to fight in your ways and not our own, that we can be confident that you've already won this battle for us. So Jesus, I pray that we may allow you to, that you will be our support, that we can hide behind all your goodness and strength for us. In Jesus' name, amen.